Blog Talk Radio.
Presidential debate, if we call that debate, I call it a presidential debacle. I want to make some points in that regard, if I can. My name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk Investigatory Study Show. I'd like to make some comments on that debacle, which they think someone won as a debate. Now, if it was Yum Soup, I had it in small print. If Trump decides to lack in common courtesy and try to talk over me and whatnot, and so on and so forth, and to belittle my intelligence, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to put my mask on, and I'm going to walk and sit down with my wife, and you're going to ask him all the questions that you're going to ask me. And then when you're done with Trump, he's going to get off that stage and go wherever the security detail takes him. Then Yum Soup will answer all the questions, just like Trump answered. See, I don't get in that arguing, fussing, and talking over people. See, I have common courtesy for people, and I expect common courtesy back. See, I know. Let's get some understanding. I don't be trying to come like my oppressor and choose none of his ways. So therefore, that debacle, which they seem to call a debate, wouldn't have worked in my best interest. And another thing, when Trump was asked to reject universal white race supremacy, he couldn't do it. He told the Proud Boys, stand back. Stand by. That's a military term. And that military term says, be at ease, but be ready. He didn't tell them anything. And that's part of their motto, stand back. And be ready. So he didn't tell them anything that they didn't already know about themselves. But most important, I want to make some reference to COVID-19. A lot of people have died and still dying because of this plague. Do not pay attention to Donald Trump. Listen to CDC. Listen to the professionals, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Briggs, and so on and so forth. And do the best you can with what you got. Wash your hands, social distance, and I would recommend some black seed oil and some cod liver oil, some vitamin C, and wash your hand quite often, okay? And wear your face mask when you're in public, okay? Well, let's get started then. I'm going to bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. Maybe he have a few pointers to make on what I just spoke of. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, my brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Oh, praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yam Su. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you, my brother.
Yeah, you said a mouthful, man. That debate was a debacle. You could call it a debate.
Hey, Cartrell, you know how Evon and Dorn said that, huh? I was saying that, huh?
About three white men battling it out like they ain't got their sense.
And they didn't. Cartrell, too, we told they didn't have good sense. You know what I mean? And I tickle me with biting the cup. You ain't no but a clown. Won't you shut up?
Hey, you ain't never seen nothing like that on a political debate scene.
I ain't never seen, but truth be told, he was a clown. But see, Yum Soup don't get into name calling. Yum Soup would have had a stipulation. This man started over talking me. So I belittle my intelligence. Yum Soup going to put his face mask on and go down and sit with his wife. And you're going to ask him all the questions that you need to ask him on all subject matters. Then his security detail going to take him out of here. Then I'm going to come back on stage. Then you ask me. Okay? Because we're not getting nowhere with this. Okay? I'm not about to play into his game. Okay? I'm trying to tell the people something that they need to know. I'm not trying to be ego run amok and shine on him. I ain't got no reason to shine on him. I don't need ego run amok, okay? Now, that's what Yum Soup did, Cartrell.
Well, I wouldn't even put myself on that stage to be debating for some democracy.
Yeah,
they are really liars. You know, they don't really tell the people the truth of what's really going on. And Donald Trump, they got what they asked for. Man's from New York. He's a mob criminal. Y'all getting a mob criminal for president.
Right.
But the people of the nation ain't do their homework. This man is tied, got mob ties. He act like a mafia don.
He sure
not just a mafia don, but a Ku Klux Klan wizard.
Yeah, he certainly do, Cartier. I'm truth be told.
Stand by for what? He would give your orders to shoot people that didn't pay the phone.
What do you want me to tell him? What do you want me to tell him? I tell him. Well, we want you to tell the universal right race president. Just quit. And you don't want no part. Oh, Proud Boys, stand down and stand by. That's their motto. You ain't told them.
You started their mantra.
Yeah, that's their motto. You told them what they want to hear, man. They would say, yay! That's our guy.
Well, we knew that Trump was a racist from the time, you know, that he tried to condemn them brothers in Central Park, Central Park jogger.
Yep.
Your man went in hard against them brothers, and they was innocent.
Yeah, and he put an ad in the New York Times or something. He had put an ad in a
big
killing those guys.
Front page article calling for the death penalty for these guys.
Exactly.
Imagine if they had to listen to him then, and our brothers would have died and he found out they was innocent. He never really apologized to those brothers either.
He said he don't apologize. And he is the same person he was then. He's the same person now. So had nothing changed about Trump. He just got old and mean and hateful. It's all Trump.
You can't teach the old dog new tricks.
Bow wow, yippee yay, bow wow, 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 yippee yay. All right, brother. All right, study brothers and sisters. Let's get busy. Turn to the 26th book of Bereshit. That's the Hebrew name for Genesis.
And don't trust Dr. Fauci or CDC.
No.
They're trying to kill us, man.
Yeah.
Trust in Yah.
Put your trust. Always go to Yah first for anything. We've learned these lessons throughout our studies. Always go to Yah before you do anything. Okay? All right. May the Most High bless you by the reading and investigatory studies of His Word, and most importantly, the application of said Word. Now, there was a famine in the land. Aside from the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Amalek, the king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Elohim had appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land which I pointed out to you. Reside in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. I will assign all these lands to you and to your offspring, fulfilling the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven and give to your descendants all this land, so that all the nations of the earth shall bless themselves by your offspring." So we had a job to do, but we didn't do it. We failed. We dropped the ball. "Insomuch as Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandment, my laws, and my teachings." So Isaac.
That's very important.
Yep.
Because the nations won't be blessed unless they're blessed through us. We lost our blessing. We got to get our blessing back all nations on the earth
shall
will
be blessed.
He didn't say some nations. He said your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So while they're stepping on our neck, putting their knees in our neck, shooting us down the street, they're losing their own blessing because we are the blessing for them.
Exactly. And Isaac stayed in Gerar. When the men of the palace place asked about his wife, he did the same thing his daddy did. He said, "She is my sister." And she was not in the physical and spiritual sense as his father, his mother. but in a spiritual sense. She is my sister. For he was afraid to say my wife, thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah. Rebekah must have been a fine sister, for she is beautiful. When some time had passed, Amalek, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw Isaac fumbling with his wife. He said, "Oh, wait, whoa. He said, "That's his sister." He getting fair familiar with that woman talking about that his sister. No, something ain't right with this program. He treating her like no sister. He treating her like that's his woman. Now you patch a woman on the behind or whatnot, you know. He was doing something that with his wife that wouldn't have been appropriate if that was his sister. And his wife, Rebecca. Amalek sent for Isaac and said.
But wait a minute. Because they caught him off guard, didn't they? Abraham prepared Sarah. He asked Sarah, "When we go into Egypt, God tell these people that you my sister because they'll kill me." They rolled up on Isaac and asked him about his wife. And he's like, what should I do? Because if I tell them, she's my wife, they're going to kill me. So he was dead on the spot.
Right, he tried to bust a move like his daddy, but he couldn't keep his hand off that young tender. So, she is your wife, huh? Why then did you say she is my sister? Isaac, in all honesty, said, because I thought that I might lose my life on account of her. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. And Amalek said, "What have you done to us, man? What kind of position have you put us in? One of the people might have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. We've had an experience with your daddy with this." Amalek then charged all the people, saying, "Anyone who molests this man or his wife shall be put to death. I don't want no trouble. I'm nobody's daddy, Elohim Yah. I don't want no trouble. Don't mess with that man. Don't mess with his wife."
And they wasn't living by the laws of Moses, but they knew that you wasn't supposed to sleep with another man's wife.
Exactly.
You talking about the Philistine.
Exactly. But look here. That only lasted. So you can see the you're going to find out they had animosity against them, even despite they couldn't put their lay hands on them, just like Job. Like Sauton couldn't lay hands on Job. He still had Anna against Job. These Philistines still had Anna against Isaac. Isaac sowed, he planted in the land and reaped a hundredfold the same year. He whatever he did, he had the golden touch. And the Elohim blessed him.
In the middle of a famine.
In the middle of a famine, he had a golden touch. And the man grew rich and richer until he was very wealthy, just like his papa. He acquired flocks and herds and a large household, so that the Philistines envied him. They had Anna. And the Philistines stopped up all the wells which his father Abraham's servant had dug in the days of his father Abraham, filling them with dirt. And Amalek said to Isaac, "Go away from us. You have become far too big for us." So Isaac departed from there. You know what I like about Isaac, unlike some of us? Some of us want to argue with folk. Isaac didn't argue with nobody. Isaac, "Hey, man, this stays, this safe spot. I ain't gonna stand on the corner, cuss at them, fuss at them, fight with them. I'm gonna just get on out of the way." That's what I like about Isaac. He was humble. He departed from there at a camp in the Wadi of Gera, where he settled. Isaac dug anew the wells which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham's death. And he gave them the same name that his father had given them. But when Isaac's servant, digging in the wadi, found there was a well of spring fresh water, the herdsman of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsman and said, "This water is ours." He named that well Ishmael, because they contended with him. And then they dug another well. He said, "Go on, take that." Then they dug another well. They disputed over that one also. So he named it Shemite. He moved from there and dug yet another well. He did not quarrel. They did not quarrel over it. So he called it Rehoboth, saying, at last, the Elohim has granted us ample space to increase in the land. See, that's what I liked about Isaac. See, some of us, because we have no patience, we have no trust in the Most High, we're ready to do or die. Isaac, hey, man, that's all right. You had that. Oh, okay, you had that too. He just kept it moving. He dug another one. They didn't argue with him over that because he already provided fresh water for them. They didn't even care now, man. We can't keep taking this guy's wells, okay? I mean, we got enough water. Ain't no sense of keep meddling with this guy. It's a humble fella. He ain't going to argue with you. He said, well, you can have that. I'm going on. I'm going to keep it moving. From there, he went up to Beersheba. That night, the Elohim appeared to him and said, I am Yah of your father, Abraham. Fear not, I am with you. I will bless you and increase your offspring for the sake of my servant, Abraham. So he built an altar there and invoked the Elohim by name, Yah. Isaac pitched his tent there, and his servants started digging another well. And Amalek came to him from Gerar with Ahuzzah, his counselor, Ephikol, the chief of his troops. Isaac said to them, now he didn't got a little, his back up against the wall now. He tired of being pushed around. Why have you come to me? Seeing that you have been hostile to me. I ain't been hostile to you. You've been hostile to me. And I have, and have driven me away from you. And then they said, now we see plainly that the Elohim has been with you. Because we took this well. You didn't argue, fuss, and fight. We took that well. You didn't argue, fuss, and fight. And everything you touch got the golden touch. And we see that the Elohim is with you. You're a humble man. And we thought, let that be a sworn treaty between our two parties. Because we know the Elohim Yah is with you. Between you and us. Let us make a pact with you. That you will not do us any harm. Because you're growing. Just as we have not molested you. But have dealt kindly with you. Yeah. Yeah, somewhat. And sent you away. Yeah. Kindly mean. You done sent me away for no reason. I done dug a well over there. You took that. I dug a well over there. You took that. And now you want peace. Sound like King David. But they found
put
that.
Abraham through the same problems because he was having problems with the well.
Yeah, testing the man, testing the brother. I mean, here's what I said, my fellow brothers and sisters, I study buddies. You're going to be tried. Don't think you won't get into this and it's going to be hokey-dory. Everything's going to be easy breezy. You're going to be tried. Now, if you didn't think you're going to be tried, the rock you're hewn from, Abraham, was tried. His son, Isaac, was tried. And you will be tried. You will be tested. As you if you notice in our studies, when we go to the book of Job, the next book, man, Job had it coming from all ends. You will be tested. But how will you fare? In your testing, will you be?
We got to give props to our father Isaac because he's facing the Philistines by himself,
And
they making a pact with him. They're scared of him because the Most High is with him, and he's not afraid of them. He's like, why are you bothering me?
And the first thing that came out of their mouth, they told him why they're scared of him. The God of Abraham, the God of your father, is with you. And we can see it in plain sight. And we've been harassing you, pestering you. I didn't run you out of town. But you still prospered. You didn't try to fuss, fight, cuss with us. But you said, okay, you can have that. All right, you can have that. You can have my father's old well. That's all right. I'm going to keep it moving. You sort of like Denzel Washington. Oh, okay, all right. You can have that. I'm going to keep it moving. And he's still prospered. So, if the Elohim, Yah, is with you, It don't make no difference what anybody says or does. Because
and they looking at his stuff.
Exactly.
And they took his wealth. He dug it. He worked for it. And they taking it. And they looking at the rest of his stuff. And I'm sure what was on their mind was taking his stuff. But something in their mind was telling them not to touch this man.
Don't touch him.
It probably was the Most High putting a bug in their ear. If you put your hand on this man, it's going to go bad for y'all.
Truth be told. And they heeded that counsel. But you know, but I liked about the rock we're hearing from Abraham. He was a humble brother. And his humility shows forth. Even after they run him off, even after they stole his wheels, even after they stole his father's wheel, even after they came with a false pact, he said, okay, all right. You want to make a pact? Cool. You honor the pact, I honor the pact. Let us make a pact with you so that you do not do us harm. Just as we have not molested you, but have dealt kindly with you and sent you away in peace, yeah, whatever. From now on, be blessed of the Elohim. Then he, now here's what he did. How humble. He made them a feast and they ate and drank. Early in the morning, they staged oath. Isaac then bade them farewell. And they departed from him in peace. The same day, Isaac's servant came. Now, say that again, my brother.
People will call him Saul. You sit down with people that hate you, that took your wealth. You made them a feast, and you made a pact with them.
He was a man.
People will call him Saul.
No, he wasn't Saul. I think he was diplomatic, unlike some of us. And he knew how to be diplomatic, and he knew how to exercise common courtesy. And some of us don't even know how to speak to one another. We don't even know how to speak to our enemies. This man knew how to speak to our enemies, and he knew how to exercise common courtesy that is sorely lacking in our nation. As I speak, let's keep it real. And I'm going to tell you the reason why I said that, Cartrell. How do a fish know that it's been born in toxic water? It doesn't know, Cartrell. You know when it knows it's born in toxic and poisonous water? When it's dead. And that's how some of us know. We're falling after our enemies. We become like our oppressors in so many ways. We're born in toxic waters, and we don't even know we're in toxic water till we're dead. Emulating our enemies and trying to be like them, trying to be all hard and trying to be all mean and bitter and ugly toward ourselves and each other and other nations. Instead of setting an example, we should be the setting example. How one must comport themselves with dignity and character and self-respect and common courtesy. But yet we tend to have descended into the characteristics of our enemies. A sad state of affairs. A dead fish don't know in toxic water to his dead, Cartrell.
Yeah. So we know that Abraham was an Eastern man. Mm-hmm. We know that Isaac was an Eastern man. And we're watching how they conducted their lives. Especially when they confronted people that didn't have the same mindset as them.
Right. They showed common courtesy.
Oh, yeah.
And
everything they did. He wasn't tit for tat.
Right.
Tit for tat. He ain't go back and try to steal their well or try to steal something from them. No, he kept it moving.
Keep it moving. Yep. Trust in the Most High and keep it moving. Now, early in the morning, they exchanged oath. Isaac then bade them farewell and departed. They departed from him in peace. The same day, Isaac's servant came and told him about the well they had dug and said to him, we found water. And he named it Seba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. When Esau was 40 years old, he took a wife, Judith, the daughter of Ben-Ray the Hittite. Now, Esau got out of his mind. Esau is a type of person that does what he want to do, when he want to do it, because if it satisfy him, no matter what his papa said, he going to do it. So he married him a Hittite woman, and then Basma, the daughter of Elam, the Hittite. And they were a source of bitterness to Isaac and Rebekah. He got out of the roots and became a source of bitterness for his father, and certainly we have become a source of bitterness for our universal father. Getting out of the rules. And it's going to cost him. You reap what you sow. Cartrell, what say you, my brother?
Yeah, that was important that Esau to tell up about his family line, what he did. We already know that Abraham sent his servant to his family, but we told him he didn't want his son to take a wife from the place that they were living.
Right.
So
but you,
Abraham's
you,
servant
you.
Went and got Rebecca from his family and brought her to where he lived.
Right.
And now Isaac has sons that he doesn't want them to take daughters from the land where he's living.
But
Esau stepping out.
Esau do what he want to do. He ain't listen to his daddy. He wanted his way. He has no sense of decency. He doesn't follow any rules. And he doesn't respect anything. It has no value to him. So when you said your birthright, do you think what your daddy think about who you married matters to you? You don't have any respect for anything. Esau didn't have any respect for anything. The values of the father, nor his birthright. That's why he married those Hittite women, but it's going to cost you. All right, you reap what you sow. My brothers and sisters, turn to Job, the third chapter. And in this chapter, Job deplores his birth. He wish he was never born. Job is feeling some sort of way, as we said. He's feeling some sort of way, and honestly, I can understand it. He's lost his children. He's lost his herds. He's got boars from feet to from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And I'm going to tell you, I've had a boar, one. And that is excruciating pain. Excruciating. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, I had to go have it lanced, as we said. And the doctor was in the operating room, and he was just digging like he digging for gold. I said, whoa, man. And I grabbed his wrist. I said, hold on now. What are you doing, man? It's hurt. Well, we gave you. I said, hold on, man. You ain't digging for gold. Well, I got to get the core out, because if I leave the core, it's going to reinfect. So the nurse, all the time, she running off at the mouth. Let the doctor answer. You better shut up. Okay? Because, see, this ain't your arm. This hurt. And you going to tell me let the doctor go. I said, I'll let him go when I want to let him go. Okay? And I said that to say this. Boars are very painful. If you ever had one, you know what I'm talking about. And I do digress, and I do apologize. The third chapter of Job. After Job, you know, his three friends that came, they sitting up there with him. And he's in grief, great grief. He's got post-traumatic stress syndrome. I'll tell you. And Job opened his mouth finally and cursed. He didn't curse Yah. He cursed the day he was born. And Job spoke and said, may the day perish on which I was born. May that day perish. And the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived. May the day be darkness. May Yah above not seek it. Let the day be wiped out. Nor the light shine upon that day. May darkness and the shadow of death claim that day. May a cloud settle on that day. May the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, may darkness seize that night. May it not rejoice among the days of the year. May it not come into the numbers of the month. Oh, may that night be barren, empty. May no joyful shout come into it. May those curse it, curse the day. Those who are ready to arouse Leviathan. Thank you, Cadriel. May the stars of the morning be dark. Of that day. May it look for light, but have none in that day, and not see the dawning of the day, because it did not shut up the doors of my mother's womb that day. he really hate that day.
All this moaning and groaning. He can't take back time.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and how many ways can you hate that day? you know,
really, we went into a long.
Yeah, how much in that? And again, and then you, I've heard it said, how many ways can I say that I love you? This man saying, how many ways can I say I wish that day never exists? I wish that night never exists. The day I was born. And he's very descriptive and wishing that day had never happened upon me, nor hide sorrow from my eyes. Why did I not die in birth? Why did I did not perish when I came from the womb? I got post-traumatic stress syndrome. I done lost my children. I done lost my herd. I'm sitting here in the dust. I got ashes on my head. I got boils from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. But I'm not going to cuss y'all. I'm cussing the day that I was born. Then he goes on to say, why did the knee receive me? Why did my mama's knee, she sit me on her knee? Or why the breast, her breast that I nursed from, of the nurse? For now, I have lain still and been quiet. I would have lain still. I wouldn't even be here. For now, I would have lain still and been quiet. I wouldn't even be here. I would have been asleep. Then I would be at rest. I've lost my children. I've lost my herds. I've lost my health. With kings and councils of the earth, I'd be with the kings and councils of the earth who build ruins for themselves. They build all this high-dollar stuff like Donald Trump. They build ruins for themselves, or with princes who had gold. He's teaching a lesson here, too. Who fill the houses with silver. They got all this stuff. I'd been with them because in a fine analysis, that's where they're going. And why was I hidden like a, why was I not hidden like a stillborn? I was never born. Why wasn't I done like that? Like infants who never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling. There, that place, the wicked cease from troubling. And there the weary are at rest in that place. There the prisoners rest together. They do not hear the voices of the oppressor. You know, I like to tell you in the church stuff. Well, you go, and you ain't hearing nothing they saying, and they ain't hearing nothing you say. The small and the great are there. The servant is free from his master there. Why is light given to him who's in misery, and light to the bitter of soul? Who long for death, but it does not come, but I do. And search for it more than hidden treasures. I'm looking for death more than hidden treasures. Some of us hold on it for life. But Job said, hey, man, I wanted more than hidden treasures. Who rejoices exceedingly and is glad when they can find the grave. Some people rejoice exceedingly when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, and whom Yah, his heads did? My sighing comes before I eat. I sigh before I eat. And my groaning pour out like water. I'm in total misery. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. I greatly feared this trepidation, this post-traumatic stress that I'm going through because of the loss of my children, the loss of my herds, the loss of my physical health. It has come upon me, and I just want to get up out of here. I wish I never was born. And finally he says, what I dreaded has happened to me. I dreaded this. It has happened to me. I'm not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. They came from all ends. And I can understand his frustration. I can understand the post-traumatic stress of losing his family, whom he loved dearly, 7 sons and 3 daughters, losing his herds, losing his health, boiled from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. What he greatly feared, he said, came upon him. But even that being said, he taught a lesson. I mean, these men and women who build these monuments to themselves, they there, the princes who seek after gold and silver, to put in their houses. They there, they got peace. Why can't I have that peace? He wasn't scared to go. But I'm certain, I'm pretty sure those kings who built these ruins unto themselves and these princes who infused their house with silver and gold, I'm sure they weren't too happy being in that place. But Job knew because of his relationship with Yah, he would have peace. He would have peace of mind, and he didn't fear the grave. Unlike some of us. Unlike some of us. Cartrell, what say you, my brother?
There was moments in time in my life where I definitely felt like Job. I want to get off.
You and me too. You and me too. Hey, you know, I actually do have post-traumatic stress syndrome by my experience in the military. And I changed. I went in as a 17-year-old and I came out a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old boy, and I came out a 19-year-old crazy-ass man. And I can understand the post-traumatic stress. Things can change you, can alter your life for the good or the better. And certainly it altered my life, and it wasn't for the good. And post-traumatic stress can do great harm to you. And certainly it did great harm to Job. He was under post-traumatic stress. And not only that, from the loss, Cartrell, listeners, but because the physical impact it had upon him. Truth be told, I do apologize, Cartrell.
No problem, bro. Show, show.
No. Hold on, bro. Ain't no my nothing. It's us. It's me, you, and y'all. Don't start there, Cartrell. Don't start there now.
Yes, I digress.
Okay.
Job is dealing with forces higher than him. He's being tested on a spiritual level, and the power that the adversary has over him is bringing him this misery.
Exactly.
And this adversary hasn't gone anywhere. There's so much trouble in the world, and we wonder where it comes from. But some of our ancient fathers handle it way different than the way Job is handling it, because trouble came to all of them. And then you seeing how Job handles it, he's like, stop the plan. I want to get off. At least I'll have peace. You know, why am I here, you know, to go through this misery? But Yah loves us, and he built us to be able to take the trouble that is dished out. He just wants to test how faithful we are to him, how much we rely on him, so that we can realize that he does exist. We ain't here alone. He ain't just drop us off and you on your own. You have to find your path and your way back to your creator. So we're going to see Job going through this misery throughout this whole book. But he wasn't ready to jump off no cliff, was he?
I don't think so, Gabriel. I don't think so. I mean, he goes, he didn't curse Yah. He cursed the day he was born. He had good sense now. And, you know, in contrast, you were talking about something as far as us having post-traumatic stress, and we all do. Truth be told, we all do. We all have it in some form or another. And I try to, you know, end my life in so many ways by my lifestyle. I was faced with guys with weapons in their hand, and, I had to fight guys with weapons and whatnot, but it's because of the choices I made. But only thanks to the Most High, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here I am now. And so many, I can count many times. Police officers, gun drawn on me. Bad guys, other bad guys, like I was, gun drawn on me. But only thanks to Yah am I here. And so I understand post-traumatic stress. And I understand how people can try to harm themselves and don't even realize they're harming themselves. And remember that what I told you, Cartier? Sometimes the fish don't know it's born in toxic and sewage water until it becomes sick or die. And that's how we are, all of us are in toxic and poisonous sewage. And we don't, because it's what you know. It's not what it should be. It's just what you know. This the water I'm born in. But when that water makes you sick and make you die, unfortunately, some of us know it in. But we try to help people learn that you're in that toxic and poisonous sewage water now, so you can get the help you need mentally, physically, and spiritually. And most importantly, spiritually, Cartrell.
No question. The Most High tells us to choose leaders from amongst ourselves, men of God, men of truth, and men that hate unjust gain. And
exactly.
When you watch the leaders of these people, they don't have any of those qualities. They're not men of truth. They don't follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they all greedy of gain.
Truth be told.
So they fail on all parts.
How do you become a politician, a lifelong politician, and you go in there, you ain't got two nickels to rub together? And then you come to find out you're a millionaire. Most of those are politicians, are millionaires. They go in there, don't have two nickels to rub together. 10 or 12 years later, they're multimillionaires. So they're not getting into this business that they call this government, this so-called government they got for the interests of the people. They're getting this so-called government to feather their own nests.
Yeah,
and
especially Donald Trump, because they say he owes $400-some-odd million within the next 4 years, and he's never been a public servant. He's never been a politician. But like you said, they get into it so they can lie in their pockets.
Exactly. And
Well,
you know, you and I are lifelong students. We've never graduated in the sense of the true meaning of graduation, because we'll be studying until the Most High takes us away here, either through the grave or through a transition back into the land. You and I are always going to be students, and that's what we understand about you. You never stop being a student of the Most High. And the moment you stop being a student of the Most High, you become like your oppressors. You choose all their ways and everything that they do, and it has meaning to you. But for Cartrell and I, and so many of you listeners, you choose to follow the ways of the Most High. You choose to be lifelong students. Not students of our oppressors, feathering our own nests at the interest of our people. Choose not to be there because our studies lead us in this direction. We have understanding through our studies, through the rock we were hewn from, Abraham and his son, and Jacob. As we continue study, you'll find out what we're talking about. Go ahead, my brother Cartrell.
Yeah, so when I went to college, there was a saying that one of my professors gave us that always stuck with me. He
mm-hmm.
said, the more you know there is to know. So
Bingo.
You can never stop learning. And for me, I know a lot, but I don't know enough. And until the day I see my people who are broken come together as a nation, I still don't know enough.
Me and you both, brother. Me and you both.
So I'm looking forward to the day the Most High brings us together through his signs, his wonders, through his might, through his miracles, by his word. I trust in Yah and everything that he said, because I've been studying what he's been saying. And first and foremost, what he's been saying applied to us first, because
yeah.
he said he would do this to us. And then he told us how we can get ourselves out of it. He also talks about the other nations as well, and we have to study that too.
Yeah, and you had to, and people don't realize, Cartrell, because of their lack of study and their meaning to their own understanding, that there was a reason why we were put in the position that we were put in. There's reasons. There's reason to worship and to serve the Most High as 12 nations and to carry the ball, to be ambassadors. We dropped the ball to draw all nations to the Most High. See, if you don't do your studies, your investigatory studies, you're only listening to what you hear. You're not listening to what you know, and you got some understanding. Yeah, you hear people talk, but you're not putting in the effort for yourself to do these in-depth studies. And you're going back for one further. Yep, we used to be like that, didn't we? You sure it is? Yeah, used to be. Used to be. And the reason why you're here, because you used to be. How are you going to get back to what you used to be? That's what we try. We have to try to do, brothers and sisters, fellow students. Get back to what we used to be. Pick up the ball, carry the ball, serve the Most High, and draw all nations unto the Most High. Be is his ambassadors. We drop the ball. And stop, sisters and brothers, pointing fingers at one another. Just stop it. We're equals. We're equals. And we equally fail each other. So stop with the finger pointing, okay? Go ahead, country.
You're right. Our destiny was already set. And we kind of read it when the Most High blessed Abraham. And he took him through that dream. And he said that your seed would be a stranger in a strange land for 400 years. But they would come out and I would judge that nation. And that your people will come out with great substance. So our destiny was already set. It's kind of like Job. We don't understand what we're going through or why we're going through it. But it's really for a higher purpose. The Most High put us in this bondage. We didn't do anything. Our fathers did something. But we're suffering and don't understand why. But the Most High intends to deliver us out of this suffering in the eyes of all the nations so they could know that, yes, there is a God who created the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens, and the earth. Not what science says, Big Bang, one cell theory of evolution. No, Yah's going to prove himself that his word is true. And we being his people should be the first ones to see it because his words affect us more and it affected us first. So we need to study ourselves. Stop looking at other people and what they're doing. You worried about what Trump and Biden and all these other people are doing. No, something's going on with us that
right.
The Most High is doing that he's not doing with the other nations. So we have to look for the signs that he left. And that's why we're going over these scriptures, because he told us to look for certain signs.
Exactly.
So one of the signs is the 400 years. And we see people ask us, what's going to happen after 400 years? Oh, so we in 401.
Right.
Ask me that question now.
Right.
Because Most High basically then shut the whole world down.
Truth be told. Truth be told. And that's the Most High. And for some people that wants to be sarcastic and come to Yom Suf full of sarcasm and pose that question to Yom Suf. Yom Suf have a ready-made answer for you. Look here, the Most High don't have a hotline to me. He don't have to call me and tell me his itinerary or what he's going to do. So whatever he's going to do, the Most High going to do, and I'm going to wait on him to do it. Now, that's what I'm going to do. The Most High ain't got to explain anything to me. He ain't got to tell me anything. And when he do tell me something, whistle for me, I'm going to come a running. That's all I need to know. All that other stuff you talking about, why he ain't doing it, you ask him. Like I said, I don't have a hotline to him. I don't have a bat phone, okay? So that's what I said today.
And we can see that they're talking about American democracy is in the balance.
They said it's tottering. It's tottering. The Republicans need to do something. They need to start up and get a spine. That's what they lack. You don't understand these people. They doing what they do. They lack what they do, and they lack chaos and confusion. If it totters and fall down, let it be. I don't care. It ain't never did nothing for me. So if it do totters, if it do falls, so what? Kick it on over, Trump. Kick it over. If it's that weak, and this criminal out of New York City can do that, well, knock her over, Trump. Knock her over. Go ahead, country.
Like a bull in a china shop, and they can't stop him.
Yeah, one man. One man. You have a constitution. You have an air force. You have a navy. You have marines. You have an army. One man can destroy this nation. Come on. It was weak in the beginning.
200,000 people have died in the last 8 months in this country.
By one man. By one man, Contrail. One man.
Because he didn't act like he should have acted. Matter of fact, he exacerbated the situation, telling people that it's no big thing. It's like the flu. You don't really got to wear masks.
Right.
He got, you know, rallies with people packed like sardines, like they don't really care. Like COVID is not even here. And what he's doing, he's killing people.
Right.
His own inner circle got it. People in the military got it. Governors and mayors got it. So nobody's immune. They're trying to say that we more susceptible, but from what I see, Most High is tearing them up. And here in New York, we got these Jewish communities that walk around with no masks. And now we're getting the uptake in their communities in the COVID.
Right.
So
well, you know they shut the land down over there because they would walk around like they were something special over there. So
they have that air of arrogance.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Trump and the Europeans, they got that air of arrogance. They think they can defy God and challenge God.
Right.
Matter of fact, they had a space shuttle called the Challenger, right?
Exactly.
You know what happened to that ship?
It blew up.
Y'all blew that joint out the sky. Who are you challenging?
They had some audacity to name it Challenger. Who are you challenging? Yeah. I'm going to show you what I did. For
like
some
the Tower of Babel. They challenged God at the Tower of Babel, didn't they?
Yeah, some simple things as O-rings. O-rings. Caused that spaceship to blow up. The O-rings were faulty.
Heat shields, they say.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I think it was the hand of the Most High. As a matter of fact,
truth
I looked at it. It looked like it was a UFO that shot a missile at it.
Here we go.
It looked like a missile.
It's fire. Oh, hey. I said, man, look at that.
And a brother was on that ship.
Yeah, brother was on there. I remember. Yeah, he wore glasses.
He was the most intelligent NASA scientist they had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That brother. The most intelligent engineer, scientist, astronaut that they had.
Right. I remember, there was a school teacher on there that was not a pilot, but she was going up there to teach from space. I don't think they ever repeated that. I'm not sure if they ever sent a school teacher back up there. But a school teacher...
Shut that whole shuttle space system down.
Exactly.
Now they got some new rockets they send it up, but we're going to see how that go.
Exactly.
But yeah, they have arrogancy, and they challenge the Most High to his face, and as a result, they die.
That's the end result. When you challenge the Most High, you better be rallying for a challenge. That's the only thing I can tell you.
And he more worried about the stock market and the money than people's health and people's
That's how your oppressors think. They're more worried about money. They don't care about no health. We don't care about no stinking health. Take those masses off. Get in those factories. Send them little kiddies to school. We don't care about no stinking health. We need to get the economy going. Damn with your health. That's how they think.
You know what Donald Trump said, right? He said he's glad that the plague hit. Because now he don't have to shake hands with those disgusting people.
Well, he did me a favor. I feel the same way about him.
He's talking about the people that would die for him, and he don't even want to shake their hand.
Yeah, okay.
People that would die for him. Love him
to death.
He talks about you don't want to shake their hand because they're disgusting.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Imagine your leader told you that. He don't want to shake your hand because you're disgusting.
All right. Well, look here. Imagine the rock we're hewn from, Abraham. I don't want to shake them Hittite's hand. Imagine Isaac. I don't want to sit with them and eat with them. They run me off, run my wife off and everything. They just stole my whales. They disgusting. Imagine the response he would have gotten by not being the man that the Most High wanted him to be. A man of high quality, a man of leadership capabilities, a humble man, a man had common courtesy no matter what they did to him. He didn't lower himself. He set a shining example as to how we should and must comport ourselves. Unfortunately, some of us don't seem to get it, Cartrell. Some of us don't seem to get it.
They think humility is weakness. They call Isaac soft, but if you can make a pact with the Philistine nation, where they fear you, and making a peace pact with you, that tells you something about yourself and your relationship with the
Most High. A family and service, and y'all was scared of that one man. No, y'all wasn't scared of that one man. Y'all was scared of the Elohim Yah, because y'all knew everything y'all threw at that brother. He didn't resort to become like his oppressors. He became better than his oppressors. He was humble. He acted with common courtesy. He gave him a feast. He signed a peace treaty, and he went on about his business. And that was that. But unfortunately, those in our household seemed to cause us most trouble, as we would see with Esau. Called in great bitterness. Those among us, my brothers and sisters, seem to cause us more trouble. Yes, I know about the universal white race supremacy. I was born in it. I was born in this captivity. And so were you. But this I know in this captivity too. We are some of our harshest critics. We are some of the ones who would mistreat, abuse, and dominate, and sometimes kill, and write a rap song about it. We'll tell our women, shake it, baby. Don't you break it. I want you, your best friend, too. And I take your dog in the pink tutu. And so on and so forth. Yes, we are our greatest nightmare on Elm Street. What say you, Katria?
I say all praise to the Holy One of Israel, because he said he's going to clean us up mentally, spiritually, and physically. You got to pass through that fire.
Well, we certainly need it, brother. I need it. You need it. Just like that color purple. I had her. You had her. We all had her. You know, we just like that color purple. I need it.
I know about that.
Well, I didn't have her. But we just like color purple. We all need the Most High. Every one of us. All of our women. All of our men. All of our children need the Most High to clean us up.
Especially if he's going to do for us like he did for our father Isaac and Abraham, which he said he would. He said he's with us, just like he said he's with them. Do we trust Yah as much as they trusted Yah, or do we have doubts?
Well, by some of us, Cartrell, it suggests to me, by their lack of study, that some appears to have a lack of doubt. They simply go along in these studies, Cartier, by what it appears to me, for a warm, fuzzy feeling. Oh, how we used to be. Instead of why did we used to be that, and what brought us to the circumstances we are in these captivities, and how can we rectify that? And how do we rectify that? What kind of attitude must we have? Unfortunately, Cartrell, some seems to think just cussing, fussing, fighting folks, call people ugly names, be ego run amok, just be proud of being stupid. And that's going to suffice to the Elohim Yah, and he's going to bring us back and make us great again. Come on. I don't know what y'all studied, but you certainly aren't studying with Cartrell and I and our fellow students, our brothers and sisters who are students of the month, are studying. We see the rock we are hewn from, a man of high quality, a man of humility. We see his son, Isaac, a man of high quality, a man of humility, a man who can accept his faults and his shortcomings on both accounts, Abraham and Isaac. And we'll get to Jacob later. It was one on our side. And Job is a man of high quality and integrity. A man is humble. And you will find out further as we continue in our studies in the book of Job. Cartrell, my brother, my friend, we're all ready for a lovely song, but I'm not going to close out on you because Ima Hadura came in a little late, so she can't really espouse on what we've been talking about. So what I will ask you, can you read us a lovely Psalms? And I will bring our beautiful Ima Hadura on and let her chit-chat. Take up some of the time, okay?
No problem. We're going to read Psalm 65, but before we go there, I just wanted to say that the Most High promised Abraham and Isaac that we just read it, all nations will be blessed through their descendants. And we are God's descendants. And right now, we're not being a blessing. We're being a curse. We're being a curse to ourselves, and we're being a curse to the nations because the nations are going down. So we have something up in there in Yah's promises that we have to fulfill, that we have to fulfill that role, that we will be a blessing to the nations of the earth, which means that the earth is going to be blessed. When the nations are blessed, the earth is going to be blessed.
And it'll be at peace because we dropped the ball. We dropped the ball. Let's look at it, brothers and sisters. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's do these studies and look in the mirror, as Michael Jackson alluded to in a song. I'm starting with the man and a sister in the mirror, asking them first and foremost to change their ways. So that's what we're asking, brothers and sisters. Yeah, we know all nations around us, they act stir crazy, but why? The question is why? We dropped the ball. Let's get ourselves together. Contrary, we're waiting on that lovely summons.
And one of the ways we get ourselves together is through these meditations in the Psalms, because we know that King David had a key to the Most High's heart. And this is how he did it. Psalm 65. Praise is awaiting you, O Elohim in Zion. And to you, the vow shall be performed. What vow? The vow that he made to our fathers, the vow that we are obligated to because they made it in our behalf. Even if you didn't make it out your own mouth, we are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we will perform these vows. Oh, you who hear prayer, does he hear your prayer? Are you praying? To you, all flesh shall come. How much of flesh? He ain't just talking about human beings either, because we know them animals got up in that ark, didn't they?
Exactly.
Iniquities prevail against me. Your own iniquities prevail against you. That's what's slowing you down. That may be impeding your progress, or you might be like Job. Y'all are just testing you.
Exactly.
But we know we got iniquity.
Right.
And that's why our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them.
Right. And Cartel, just like we're studying in the book of Job, how will my brothers and sisters respond? If that was you, I want you to go in your mind's eye with me. I want you to go in your mind's eye. Close your eyes. You got 7 wonderful children, male sons. You got 3 gorgeous daughters. They've been taken away from you. You got herds. You're a rich and wealthy man or woman. That's been taken away from you. You got boils from the top of your head, all over your body, to the bottom of your feet. And you hadn't did anything to anybody. How would you respond? I'm sorry, Cartier. Go ahead, my brother.
I think that we kind of can relate to that, especially in this year 2020, when our brother Kobe Bryant died.
Right.
He made us feel like, you know, family. A brother like Kobe, we're familiar with him. So you ask that question, ask his wife that question, because I'm sure she's feeling like Job now. Because her man and her daughter, even though she didn't have 7, just the 2 that she lost. I'm sure she felt the pain that Job was feeling.
Right. Even though she's a wealthy woman by all accounts. Money don't buy you. Money don't buy you happiness. Money don't certainly buy you peace of mind.
So we just read something in the Psalms that might have went over some people's heads.
Right.
Especially Christians, because they think that you could put your sins on Jesus because he died for our sins.
Oh, is that right?
He just read.
Is that right?
It says, to you all flesh will come, O Elohim. Iniquities prevail against me. Watch this. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Didn't say nothing about him sacrificing his son on the cross. It says that he will provide atonement for our transgressions, which are iniquities.
Exactly.
Blessed is the man who chooses who you choose and calls to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. Who's going to be able to do that? Only the people that got connection with Yah. and is trying to walk that righteous path. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple, and we're waiting for that to come. By awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us. Here, this is the future, but you got to be praying. O Elohim of our salvation. So we talk about salvation, how we going to get it, is being described right here. You who are the confidence of all ends of the earth and of the far off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power, you who still the noises of the seas, the noises of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. So not only can Yah stop waves of the sea, and we're talking tsunami, he can create tsunami or he can stop tsunami. He can also stop the tumult of the peoples. And we see riots worldwide, people upset, rioting in the street. That's called tumult.
Tumult.
And also tumult, right. That's disturbance. That's what they call riots.
Yeah, tumultuous.
And also, who dwell in the Father's place. Excuse me. They also who dwell in the Father's parts are afraid of your signs. Yes, yeah, so people see the signs of Yah, and they know that we in the end of days, right?
Exactly.
And they're afraid. They're afraid. What did he tell us to do? Did he tell us to be afraid of the sign?
No. So don't be afraid.
He said, fear not. You make your outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The rivers of Elohim is full of water. The waters never go anywhere, right? The same water Adam was drinking is the same water we drinking. It just recycles.
Truth be told.
But we just abuse it, misuse it, pollute it. And we have to wait for y'all to purify it again.
Exactly.
For so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness. And how timely is Yah with the seasons? Are they ever late?
No.
Don't they always come?
He certainly does.
You can set your watch by it, right? We're in the end of September. We're going into what? The fall.
You
Why?
Better believe.
Why we ain't going back into summer?
No, no, that ain't the way it works.
Why not? Why
the most
not?
High
everything is random.
The Most High said it doesn't work that way, and it's good enough for me.
Okay. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness. The little hills rejoice on every side. Hills are rejoicing. So we know the earth is alive when he talks about how the hills rejoice. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. So we don't know the animals and the hills and the trees and all that give praise to Yah. But they do. They do.
Exactly. He said so.
That's why we get this season. That's right.
He said so, and it's good enough for me.
Yeah, so in conclusion, we see King David.
Thank you, God.
Showed us wisdom. Great wisdom.
It certainly is, Contra. And it ties in, Contra, with everything we read about. We're reading about Bereshit, the first book of the Torah, Bereshit, not the Greek name, Genesis, but Bereshit, the Hebrew name. And by Job, and also by the Psalms. All these things running in conjunction with one another. None is off character until you start trying to infuse other stuff into it. And you start skipping all around the place and so on and so forth. You get totally confused about everything. But when you read it in conjunction and juxtaposition with each other, they all seem to complement one another. And you know, that's the funny thing about this contrary. We didn't choose when we read, we just finish up one book, we go to another book, and so on and so forth. But they all seem to complement one another. They're all to complement.
We call it synchronicity.
Exactly.
We call it animo magico.
Right.
Because y'all be in our conversation, y'all be in our thoughts, y'all watches everything that we do, and he injects himself. So randomly, we pick Genesis, and Job came up. Now we in the 65th chapter of the book of Psalms, but nothing clashes one with the other, like you said. It's synchronized because it's the same word spoken by the same creator.
Isn't it funny, Contrary? No, it's not funny. It's just
mystical.
Just
Magical.
It's mystical. It's magical. And I have to concur with you, Cartier. It's mystical and magical. Especially when you're dealing with it. What Yah tells you to do, and when he tells you to do it, everything is mystical and magical. And that's what we're looking for, brothers and sisters. And as I see it, how do a fish know that it's living in a toxic water when it's sick or dead? And we're all in toxic and poisonous waters. But these are refreshing waters.
Yes.
These, what we're studying on, give you a different perspective, a refreshing perspective, a perspective of the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, seen through the eyes of the rock we're hewn from. It's an Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Job, and many others that we studied about, many of the prophets we studied about, King Dawood, through the Psalms, and the other writers of the Psalms. You know what, Cartier, you remember there's a song by a group called The Fifth Dimension? I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Well, you think I hit it like that, did
I? I hear you trying.
Huh?
I hear you trying.
And whatever. It's going to be a bright, 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 sunshiny day. You know, a great reporter ain't got nothing on me, Cartier. Hey, listeners, you know what, Cartier? I don't care what Cartier is. He's my big brother. Not only a month and a couple of weeks or whatnot. Maybe not even a whole month. He's my big brother. I'm going to give him love and respect. But, Greg Report ain't got nothing on me.
there's another record called Joy and Pain.
Yeah, what you trying to say?
And Rain.
What you trying to say, Cadre? Are you trying to say
what I'm trying to say is that you have to take agony with the ecstasy.
You know what, bro? If you were my brother, and I love you, I think you trying to throw some salt at me, bro. Agony and ecstasy. Joy and pain. Listeners, we something else.
Yeah, joy and pain, agony and ecstasy. Darkness and light. Good and evil.
You check this out, listeners. I want y'all to know that we have high regard and respect for one another. Don't get it twisted. And the deepest admiration because of the fact, the bottom line, we both love the Most High. And we're trying to get his message across. And we have camaraderie. And as I always said, the Most High knows how to put a Joshua and a Caleb together. And I believe he's done a wonderful job when it comes to Cartrell and I. He know how to put a Joshua and a Caleb together. Well, Cartrell, that wasn't Ema Hadora. That was Sister Wendy Pettis. Sister Wendy Pettis. Yeah, Sister Wendy Pettis. You got something to say? Hit number one. We'll bring you on, love. Hit number one on your phone. I know you know how to do it. There she go. Ema Wendy Pettis, may the Most High bless you, love. Your mic is
on. God bless you, Sister Emma Wendy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. We certainly can.
I thought Sister Adora was going to speak.
Well, no, I thought you know her number was your number, but I got it twisted.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, it was your number.
Shalom, everybody.
Shalom,
yes, ma'am.
And I hope everybody's well. And you know, it's a good thing that we don't look to the government or to the president for our help. Because I didn't even look at that thing last night, but they said it wasn't nothing but a disaster.
You didn't miss it.
Y'all know that we don't need to look to them to resolve anything for us.
Oh, no, I never do, Ema. But I like to be cognizant of what's going on around me with other nations.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But I certainly look to them for solutions.
That's true.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to make that little comment that it's good to know that we have an everlasting powerful backing Because this is a mess. This is a true mess.
A hot mess.
I got to remember that. It's a hot mess. That's
hot
right. And I want you brothers to take care of yourselves and your family.
You too,
and shalom to everybody else listening.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Ima. We love you.
Thank you for letting me speak my mind, you two tenderonies.
Coming from you, we'll take that as a compliment.
Okay,
anytime.
All right. Well, listen.
In all humility.
If you're not young in body, you're sure young at heart.
Yes, ma'am. That's about the best we got, young at heart, Ima.
Shalom.
Yeah, shalom. That's the thing we're hanging on, man.
Truth be told, Cartrell, my brother and friend. Hold on. We ain't spoke to Young Gregory in a while. You want to send him a shout out?
No doubt. He's still listening?
Yeah, I'm certain he's listening.
Well, I pray that the Most High is with him and his family. That he's doing well in school, that he's getting his work done, he can concentrate and get his homework done so he could continue to grow mentally, physically, and spiritually. And we hope that he understands the message that we're bringing forth because he does have hope. We do have hope as a people. All is not lost. The Most High is showing us the door of our future, even though our enemy is not going to show us this kind of stuff. It's good that this message is being relayed to our young people. And I pray that the Most High opens up his eyes and his understanding that, you know, he would know that this is the right way.
Truth be told. You know what, Cartrell? You know, he's a very smart boy, 5-year-old. But, you know, I think he'd be thinking sometimes, like that song back in the day, I always feel like somebody watching me. But you're right, Gregory. Somebody is watching. Hey, you be a good boy. You listen to your Ima. And if you feel like somebody watching you, you're right. Somebody is. Somebody has got an intelligent report on you, just like they got an intelligent report on all of us. So you make sure that you're doing the right thing. You're following your Ima's instructions. You're doing your studies. And when you get chance and you're not sleeping after your hard studies, that you're listening to the Real Talk for Real People investigatory study show. That being said, Cotrell, my brother and friend, what's your closing remarks?
Gregory feels like somebody's always watching him.
Yeah.
I just want him to know that the Most High is always watching out for him. And all he has to do is call on the God of his fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he'll be there to help you whenever you need him, whenever you're in trouble. Because trouble will come, maybe,
certainly,
you know, not by no fault of your own. But anytime you're in trouble, whether it be by your own cause or no fault of your own, always call on the Most High to help you out of that trouble.
Certainly.
Because he is watching, and he's watching out for you.
Certainly, Cartrell. Certainly. Well, point well made, Cartrell. I mean, devil beat what you just said. He ain't watching you. He ain't simply watching you. He watching out for you. That's deep, Cartrell. I like that, bro. Well, listeners, well, fellow students and study buddy and sisters, we don't know where you're going. We've done our part. We provided the information. We made it clear, crystal clear as we possibly can. That's all we can do. Now it's up to you. You must apply it to your lives. You must put it into action. Theory is good. But putting it into action is even far better. Well, we love you. May the Most High bless you. Direct and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Why? Because your thinkers are broken. Start moving in the right direction. We love you. Shalom. Good night.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string. One that is floating around, I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home. One that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean? when you say you wanna be free. Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say, then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. In a world